are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me this weekend when the Giants take on the A's to get in on the action. Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. And as a lifelong fan, boy, do I enjoy weird and wacky games like we saw today. Just a little bit of housekeeping, though. Some of you may have been looking for this podcast at the usual time, which is at noon. But whenever the Giants play a day game after a night game, really, we end up doing that day's podcast after the day game. So this podcast is going to come out pretty late at night because this game went long. It went 13 innings. So a lot of you are probably going to be listening on Thursday morning, and that's okay. But just know another podcast on Thursday is going to be coming out at noon. So anyway, with that out of the way, we're actually going to be talking about the last two games this entire series in Anaheim, with the Giants winning both games. With the two wins, the Giants improved to 48-26. They were already the best team in baseball, and now they've just improved upon that even more. 22 games over 500. At the time of this recording, their plus 101 run differential is the best in the National League. The Astros actually hold the title of best run differential in baseball. They've won 10 games in a row, blah, blah, blah. Don't care about the Astros. Anyway, getting to this game, Giants winning in 13 innings by a score of 9-3. And as I said on Twitter when I put out my video, it's the most deceiving 9-3 score in the history of baseball. If you told us before this game started that the final score would be 9-3 Giants, I couldn't have in a million years have scripted this game to go how it actually went down. This was a 1-1 game going into the 12th inning, okay, and it ends up as a 9-3 final. Really weird and wacky stuff. This game started out as a pitcher's duel, and it was a game, you know, a duel that lived up to the billing, which actually doesn't happen all that often. You can get great pitching matchups, and then it just doesn't turn out to be a great, you know, a greatly pitched game. But anyway, Ohtani and Gausman is just a tremendous matchup of pitchers who throw devastating splitters. And when all was said and done, Ohtani went 6 innings, allowed 1 run only on a solo homer, 9 strikeouts. Kevin Gausman went 7 innings, allowing 1 run only on a solo homer, and had 9 strikeouts. Gausman allowed 4 hits, 1 walk. Ohtani allowed 6 hits, 2 walks. So I'm going to give the edge to Kevin Gausman. Kevin Gausman outpitched Shohei Ohtani. He went deeper into the game. He allowed fewer hits and won fewer walks. So anyway, I mean, that's just me kind of digging perhaps a little too deeply. They both pitched great, and it was a highly entertaining game in that respect. However, this game changed completely when it went to extra innings. Kind of the big takeaway for me from the way that the Giants won this game was that A, they were really resilient. There was a couple of times when it looked like the Angels were going to win the game. Giants did not score in the 10th or 11th in the top of that extra inning. And remember, I mean, they started out with a runner on second, but then the Angels get to start out the bottom of the frame with a runner on second, and one run would win the game. But both times, the Giants were able to keep them off the board. Zach Littell, John Brebbia, Dominic Leone, and Harleen Garcia basically combined to save the game, although Dominic Leone did give up a run, as did Harleen Garcia. Both of those runs are unearned. It was the inherited runner on second. But to me, like, I'm going to have to look in a second just to refresh my memory about exactly what went down in the top of the 13th when the Giants scored seven runs to go ahead 9-2. But again, the big takeaway for me was actually the swing of the bat by Mike Tauchman, who started this game in left field, frankly, only because there was a DH. So Alex Dickerson is back off the injured list playing in these games, but because there's a DH, he was able to be the DH, which made Tauchman the guy who started and left, at least against the right-handed pitcher Ohtani today. Did not start in the first game against a lefty. But anyway, Tauchman was 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts going into his plate appearance in the 13th, and he got into another 2-strike count, swinging through a couple of other fastballs. Just in this rut he's in, just swinging and missing constantly. So I said this on Twitter and I stand by it. He may have been one swing and miss, one pitch away from being designated for assignment. But instead, he cracks one, just delivers a bomb of a 3-run homer into right field and perhaps saved his spot on this roster for at least a little while longer. Some people are not going to be happy about that. He's become the new Brandon Belt in a way where, I mean, it's not the same story as Brandon Belt, although I keep coming back to Brandon Belt can look completely lost at the plate himself. And so we're judging Tauchman in a small sample. Sometimes certain players just get completely lost at the plate, but that doesn't mean that's who they are. He's not this bad, and I think we saw that come out with this big 3-run homer. So something we're going to have to talk about next is that Brandon Belt got injured in this game. So Tauchman is probably going to stick around for a couple reasons. Number one, that home run. Number two, because Brandon Belt, to me, based on what the injury looked like, is likely going on the injured list. And we're going to talk next about what that means, what the corresponding roster move would be if Belt does in fact have to go on the IL. So that's all coming up next, but first, this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Spotify Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Giants once a week. That's right, you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Spotify Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll have a chance to chat with me and might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Giants podcast through our Spotify Green Room conversations. Download the free Spotify Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Ben Caspick to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. I'm planning to be live this weekend when the Giants take on the A's. I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Giants, so I'll see you there. Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. Did you know that decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year? In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. They can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences that you can control. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB to get started today. All right, as promised, more about this insane Giants 9-3 win over the Angels. We're also at some point going to talk about yesterday's 5-0 win over the Angels, Anthony DeSclafani with 7 shutout innings. Giants pitching their 10th shutout of the year. How about this? Leading the major leagues in shutouts thrown and leading the major leagues in home runs hit. That is, my friends, a winning combination. Okay, if you lead the league in shutouts and lead the league in home runs, you're going to have a pretty darn good record. And the Giants, in fact, do at 48-26. Can you believe that? I frankly can't even believe it. Even though I was kind of high on the Giants, if you followed this show for a while now, you know that I've been higher than most on this team for a while. So it's really nice to see it come to fruition as it has. But anyway, I do want to talk about the Tauchman situation and the Brandon Belt situation and what the Brandon Belt injury probably means. So Brandon Belt injured himself at some point late in this game. I don't remember exactly what inning, but he had reached base via a 2-strike bunt, which was his second bunt hit of this series. And Donovan Solano hit a single to right. Brandon Belt aggressively advanced to third. The throw got away from Rendon. The throw coming into third base got away, and Belt tried to score. I like the aggressive base running. There were 2 outs. I think it was a good move to try to force the issue and push that run across. I like that he was feeling frisky enough to do so. However, the ball kind of took a favorable bounce for the Angels, caromed right back to Rendon, who threw home in plenty of time to get Belt. They tag him out as he pulls up at the plate and just kind of falls into a heap after being tagged out. So it ends up being a knee injury for Belt, as Kapler said after the game. I honestly, at this moment in time, I can't remember if it was a right knee or a left knee. Doesn't really matter. You kind of need both knees. I suppose it's worse if it's the right knee because you kind of have to plant on that knee when you're swinging the bat from the left side. But either way, it really didn't look good at all. Hopefully it was just like he tweaked it somehow, but he was in, you know, he just kind of had to collapse onto the ground is how he felt when he was out there on the field. So apparently he's going to get it scanned. The Giants are off on Thursday, so they don't have to make a quick determination, but they do need to get that scan, figure out exactly what's going on, and potentially make a corresponding move. Now, I know a lot of people were not pleased when Lamont Wade Jr. was optioned the other day to make room for Alex Dickerson and Darren Ruff. So Wade Jr. and Jason Vossler were optioned to make room for those two. We said he would be back. I mean, Wade Jr. would be back. There's always a situation that's going to come up, and this is the way this front office operates. Guys are up and down. It's not really that big of a deal to lose somebody for just a handful of days, potentially. But to me, that looks like the corresponding move. Remember, earlier in the year when Belt was hurt, who played first base for a long while? It was Lamont Wade Jr. Now, it's also worth remembering, though, that Darren Ruff was hurt at that time as well. So, you know, the fact that Ruff is back now could mean that Wade Jr. wouldn't be in line for everyday plate appearances at the first base position. Recall as well that when Ruff got hurt, he was just about to be handed that everyday role. So it kind of potentially becomes a competition at first base between Darren Ruff and Lamont Wade Jr., assuming Wade Jr. is the move if Belt has to go on the injured list. So I'm kind of assuming that he will, but that's never a good idea. You can often be wrong in what an injury looks like versus what the diagnosis ends up being. So we'll hold out for that. But I'm going to assume Belt goes on the IL and that Lamont Wade Jr. is the corresponding move. And then it would be fascinating to see, especially against right-handed pitching, is it Wade Jr. who starts at first, or is it Darren Ruff with Wade Jr. serving as a, you know, bench player, a guy who gets pinch hit opportunities for the most part? I don't think they want Lamont Wade Jr. to just rot on the bench. I think that was a big part of why he was optioned. So I would anticipate that they would maybe form a platoon there, but at the same time, maybe not a platoon because In left field, they've got a platoon with Alex Dickerson starting against righties and Darren Ruff starting against lefties. So this roster, it is a giant puzzle, and they've got a lot of great pieces, and the pieces all fit together, but you've really got to think about, you know, who do you move where, and then what does that open up somewhere else, and then who can be plugged in there. There's so many moving parts, so many versatile parts, so many options they have for themselves, and that is a great position to be in. Look, it is unfortunate that Brandon Belt seems to be injured again. He can't really catch a break right now. He's been injured a lot the last couple of years, and I mean, frankly, the leg stuff, maybe he just needs to stop being aggressive on the bases, because those poor old legs of his have had some problems. He's had heel problems and now a knee problem here. So I don't really know what else to say about that, except for the fact that I do believe that that would continue to buy Mike Tauchman some time. Because if Belt is healthy and you really feel like you can't roster Tauchman anymore, say he had gone 0-for-6 with 6 strikeouts, you may make that move to designate him for assignment, feeling like you need somebody else who's going to produce. That being said, you can't bring up Wade Jr. or Vossler for 10 days unless it's to replace someone who got hurt. So if Belt hadn't gotten hurt, Tauchman still probably keeps that spot, because the most obvious replacement is Wade Jr., and Wade Jr. can't be called back up unless he's replacing an injured player. So anyway, we will just look back on this game eventually, and you know, you'll see the score 9-3, and people won't remember what a wacky game it was. So a win is a win is a win. In a season like this, especially, the Giants are just going to be happy to get out of Anaheim, get on that plane. The win is in the bank. It doesn't matter. Pretty, ugly, absurd, which was this game. Doesn't matter. A win is a win. The Giants have 48 of them. That's more than any other team. Next closest team is the Astros with 46. In the National League, the next two closest teams are both in the division, the Padres and the Dodgers, who are playing each other again today. So anyway, coming up next, we'll kind of just recap the other game, the DeSclafani start, what went down in that game, and then we'll get you set a little bit for what's to come. Next, I want to talk about the delicious tasting Built Bar. They've got 18 amazing flavors, including nut and nut-free flavors. All bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. It is amazing that the Built Bar really tastes like a candy bar, but what astonished me as someone who doesn't like to eat a lot of sugar is just how low in sugar these Built Bars are, especially considering the taste. So they're great for a health-conscious person. Just looking through some of the nutrition facts, they're all high in protein. We're talking 17, 18, 19 grams of protein, and low in sugar. We're talking 4 or 5 grams of sugar, and they're low in calories as well. Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get in on the action as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. Use promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Alrighty, as promised, we're going to discuss briefly the Giants' 5-0 win on Tuesday. Anthony DeSclafani against Andrew Heaney. Giants got things going in the top of the first inning. Before they really struggled on the second game of the series on Wednesday, one of the big takeaways from the first game and just from the season as a whole, it is interesting how individual games can kind of just spark different conversations about the state of the team as a whole. So if we had just done a podcast wrapping up the Tuesday game, a big part of it was going to be about how the Giants are winning with offense and they're winning with all these shutouts. Kind of my big thing on Tuesday was that it is a pet peeve of mine when people talk about the Giants are pitching and defense and timely hitting. The great Cobert Gobert pointed this out, that the Giants are not a timely hitting team. And I had the exact same thought as Cobert mentioned later on, that if the Giants hitting is timely hitting, then all hitting is timely hitting. And it is. Like, if you're hitting a lot of those hits are going to be timely. So it's a little bit of a redundant thing to say. But typically when people say timely hitting, they mean like clutch hitting. And I think they typically mean you're not a great offensive team, but you find a way to come through when it matters most. That is not the Giants. The Giants, like I kept saying on Twitter yesterday, I was just trying to drill it into everyone's head. If people are thinking of this team as just a, quote, timely hitting team, they're leading the major leagues in home runs, okay? And that includes all American League teams that don't have to have a pitcher taking up 1/9 of their lineup. Giants have literally a pitcher in the lineup instead of a DH, and yet they have more home runs than any team in the game. And that is a big deal. The Giants were not a home run hitting team just a few years ago. Farhan Zaidi has come in. The new coaches under Gabe Kapler have come in, and they have transformed this team that doesn't have a lot of like young star talent, flashy players. But what they have is a bunch of players who do in fact hit home runs and hit for power. And another element of their offense is plate discipline. They have one of the top walk rates in all of baseball. They have one of the lowest chase rates in all of baseball. They don't swing at pitches out of the zone. They're willing to take their walks. And yet when the pitches are in the zone in a spot that they can handle, they do damage on those pitches. So they're kind of the opposite of, quote, timely hitting. They're more like the Bash Brothers. You know, they are a ragtag group of players who get on base and hit for power. And that is what, to me, offense is all about. We had JT Snow in the broadcast booth, who I think did a pretty good job for the most part. But he was talking about how you got to protect the zone with two strikes. You have to expand with two strikes and just put the ball in play. Frankly, that is not the way the Giants are operating, and it's really hard to argue with the results. Their whole philosophy is about zeroing in on one pitch in one spot and just trying to do damage on that pitch. And if you don't get it, just spit on it. Take it. Don't swing. If you're a hitter and you're up there and you're thinking about a zone as big as the strike zone, you're liable to chase pitches because a lot of pitches are going to look like they're on the edges of the zone and then they're going to break out of the strike zone, whether away from you or in towards you or below the zone or up or whatever. So if you're focused in on such a giant zone, you're way more liable to chase. And I think that is why it is a huge reason why the Giants have been such a good offensive team, is that they don't look to expand the zone in any circumstances. They look for their pitch, they wait for a mistake, and they do damage. So anyway, it's kind of a conflict of philosophies at times, because as like there's a lot of old school ingrained stuff that goes, you know, flies in the face of what the Giants are doing now. And my big takeaway from this game on offense for the Giants was that it is a really good thing they don't do things in a conventional way. To me, it's a big reason why they are performing so well. It's not just some random happy coincidence that the Giants have become good again. It has everything to do with Farhan Zaidi and the front office targeting kind of undervalued players and being probably the best in baseball, or at least top three in that regard, being able to find undervalued talent. And then number two, the way that they've been coached, the job that Gabe Kapler and the hitting coaches have done, changing the philosophy and helping them be in the best position to succeed, whether it be mechanically, situationally, having platoon advantage, whatever. So anyway, it's not, again, just a happy coincidence the Giants are 48 and 26. So I think instead of just saying they need to do this, that, and the other thing that's just conventional wisdom, they basically need to keep doing what they've been doing, which is looking for pitches to drive, doing damage, being patient, getting on base, and hitting homers. So, you know, on the mound, Anthony DeSclafani was brilliant. He's basically had one bad start and otherwise been just fabulous all season long. So great job by DeSclafani. Improved his ERA to 2.77, 9 Ks, 7 innings, no runs, 3 hits, 2 walks. Just fabulous, fabulous. Dominic Leone and Jimmy Scherfe with scoreless innings to close it out. Anyway, coming up tomorrow, we'll probably do another mailbag, get to some of the questions we couldn't get to when we did a mailbag just a few days ago. Again, if you're listening to this on Thursday, there's another podcast coming out today. If you're listening on Wednesday night, congratulations on being so devoted to the show, and thank you so much for listening. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out so much, so thank you in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so. I can't wait to be with you again on Thursday, so until then, we'll see you next time.